is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, and welcome to it on a Monday. Good to have you here. That white nationalist event in D.C., you know, that was attacked by Antifa, the alleged anti-fascists who don't know what fascism is, nor can they spell the word. So you've got the radicals on the right, a few of them, but it was over pretty much before it even started. This was pretty much a whole lot of to do about nothing at all. Weeks of hype, white supremacists managing to muster 24 supporters on Sunday. Wow. In a nation of 325 million people, 25 people turn out to support white supremacy in America, not exactly a big problem now, is it? No, sir, it's not. It's the first anniversary of the deadly rally in Charlottesville, and they found themselves greatly outnumbered by counter-protesters, which reminds me of the advice my mother gave me time and again when I was growing up. Just ignore them, they'll go away. Why give them all of this publicity? So another 24 can join them, the movement of white supremacy, please. Almost no turnout. In the divisions in America when it comes to race, right? Are they really there the way that they would have you believe on the nightly news? I don't think so. They tell you about this great divide and this white nationalist rally in Washington, D.C., and 24 punks turn out. Like I said, not exactly a big problem. The point being is, this whole racist notion isn't a big problem in America. And the only reason it gets any coverage at all is because CNN and NBC and all of these networks and the New York Times and Washington Post put cameras there and make it look bigger than it really is. They put cameras there and focus it and magnify it. But it's like it's a small pimple. You know, pop it, be done. Boom. Anyhow, it's a lot of noise. A lot of noise and emotion, but it means nothing in America. It means nothing in America. And the news would have you, look, one of these racists is wearing a Make America Great Again hat. And so what? Some of them might have been wearing, you know, New York Yankees hats too. Does that mean the Yankees are a racist organization? Because they're trying, well, look, they had a red Donald Trump hat on, so therefore Donald Trump must be racist. Please. Get a grip, people. The white supremacy movement in America is not a movement at all. Even the Southern Poverty Law Center a few years ago, I've told you this, but I need to explain it again. The Southern Poverty Law Center, even though greatly discredited now for their bad behavior, a group that will go out and label just about anybody a hate group. Chick-fil-A's a hate group. They sell chicken sandwiches, I might remind you. They went out and did an audit, if you will, of white supremacists across America a few years ago. They found 7,000. 7,000, and they go to great lengths to identify people as haters, as groups of hate. 7,000 individuals, and not all in the same group, I might point out. So you get 7,000 abject white supremacists, racists in America, out of 325 million people. It's not exactly a big problem. 24 of them turned out for this big rally in D.C. that have been promoted, and then there's nothing there. There really is nothing there. And to give these people all of this publicity is wrong. It's bad behavior on the part of the media to try to pretend that somehow we have this great racist, you know, radical Ku Klux Klan, white nationalist movement in America is a lie. It's a lie. You know it, and so do I. Anyhow, meanwhile, Meanwhile, another headline, I'm done with that now. Meanwhile, in other headlines, the White House is seeking to prevent Omarosa from releasing more tapes. And the question is she in trouble? Omarosa secretly recorded her termination by General John Kelly, the chief of staff. She recorded the entire thing in the Situation Room. And John Kelly had said that she was being terminated because of concerns over integrity over her time at the White House. Integrity. Well, then she records in the Situation Room. That's not a matter of integrity. That's a matter of national security. How did that happen? White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders released a statement Sunday saying the very idea of a staff member sneaking a recording device into the White House Situation Room shows, quote, a blatant disregard for our national security, end quote. It's true. And then to brag about it on national TV, come on, which is what she did on the NBC Meet the Press program. A number of journalists, national security experts, myself included, former White House staff members and others, raised alarms. I mean, how do you record in the Situation Room? You can't. It's not legal. Electronic devices are flat out and strictly prohibited for those very concerns. And yet Omarosa felt that she could do it, and she did do it, and then she shared that recording with NBC News. A massive violation of security protocols, what Sean Spicer called it, and he's right. My question is, I'm doing some research here, could Omarosa find herself behind bars because the White House is trying to make sure that she has no other tapes that would breach national security and put us at risk because she's made it clear that she can get inside the Situation Room and record? Well, gee, anybody who's compromised and you know, truly a spy for somebody else, there it is. Here's your roadmap on how to get into the Situation Room. Really? Donald Trump, for his part, called Omarosa a lowlife, following a number of other incendiary claims, like she claims to have heard a tape where Donald Trump uses the N-word, says it's from sometime when he was working at The Apprentice. And in talking to people around here today about that, you know, if that tape truly existed, it would be out there. If she's been able to listen, she claims she listened to it a couple of days ago. If she had actually listened to the tape, that means the tape is in circulation. If the tape was in circulation, the tape would be on national news outlets, and it would have a devastating effect on the Trump presidency. So if it does exist, expect it to come out about October 31st, just before the midterm elections. That's when you would expect it to happen, because that would have a massive impact on the American elections. So such a tape does exist, and yes, it would have a tremendous impact on the outcome of an election, I believe. The electorate doesn't seem to care much about Donald Trump's sexual conquests, I suppose, or whatever he's done, or the things that he's said in that fashion. But I do believe if there's a tape that he has heard using the N-word in any fashion, that will be something that would impact the outcome of the election in 2018 and 2020. I think that would be far more difficult for the president or anyone else to overcome, period. Consider that today. But I don't know if there is a tape. I don't. Yeah, Omarosa, does she have credibility? I would say it's pretty suspect. 14 after on the Steve Gruber Show.